we welcome host Madeline Alakharialuk, who will share about her language, Inuktitut.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi.
Gigawabamin. Soko seni denit e minen yuji hina.
Ekose.
Kakuuddao. We'll see you again.
You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CSK News. On August 26th, a blockade was erected at the intersection of the Cranberry Junction and Highway 37, about 2 hours northeast of Terrace. The Gitnyau Hereditary Chiefs, along with members of the Kispeox Valley community and the Kispeox Band, have erected the blockade to stop LNG trucks and workers from accessing a work site in preparation for construction of the Prince Rupert Gas Transmission Pipeline, which would carry fracked gas from northeast BC to an LNG facility near the Nisga community of Gingolks, near the mouth of the Nass River. The pipeline in question received its permits 10 years ago, but was shelved after the Pacific Northwest LNG project was abandoned by investors. Recently, former owner TC Energy sold the pipeline to the Nisga Lisims government for the Tsai Lisims LNG project, a joint venture between Texas-based Western LNG and the Nisga government. The company is now trying to prove to regulators that it can complete a substantial start before November, when the 10-year-old permit is due to expire. However, if a substantial start is achieved, the permit will be active indefinitely. Although Gitnyau and Gitsan chiefs signed a benefit agreement with PRGT in 2014, several of the signatories have died and others say the project has completely changed and they are calling for a new environmental and cumulative effects assessment to be done before the project can be considered. But for those that have taken to the blockades, the message is clear: no pipeline will be built without their consent. Still, the Nisga Lisims government and Western LNG have maintained that although they respect people's rights to protest, they are proceeding with the project. In a statement, Nisga President Eva Clayton said, "We do respect peaceful and lawful protest, but those who block roads do not represent the majority of us who are excited about this Indigenous-owned gas pipeline." Representatives from the Nisga Nation or Western LNG were not available for comment before this broadcast. Today we'll speak with those setting up the blockades. Richard Mercer is a Nisga community member who says many Nisga feel blindsided by this new project. And CICK was on the ground at one of the blockades this week. We caught up with Deborah Good, a hereditary chief of the Gitnyau Nation, whose territory borders Nisga lands and says the pipeline will never be built. Stay with us.
My name is Richard Cecil Mercer. My traditional name is Massagun, from the community of Gilagdamiks, formerly Niuayanch. The surrounding, in the community here, there's probably about, say, the whole four villages. I'm thinking a couple of thousand people. And there's like a few more thousand outside the nation, total 6,000 Nisga's altogether.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News. Of course, it's been quite an eventful last couple of weeks. We've seen some activity. Maybe you can tell us, Richard, what has been going on up in the territory? As I understand it, there are some roadblocks that have been set up stopping LNG trucks from getting to the work site. As I mentioned, I was up on Saturday at the Gitnyau checkpoint there, where there's a blockade on the Cranberry Junction and Highway 37. But You're on the other side of the border in Nisga territory. Tell me about what you've been dealing with these last few days and this past week.
Well, on the 26th, the Monday, I set up a roadblock to stop the traffic for the LNG. It was up for about 3 hours from 6 in the morning till morning. And then I was requested to take it down by the RCMP. They're going to they just charged me with mischief, but they gave me the chance to comply, which I did, and then the traffic went through. So, but I stopped the logging trucks too, but they're on their way out loaded. So, but they're also part of that LNG because they're clear cutting right away for the pipelines. They have when you have a pipeline, they want each side open for their equipment to put the pipe in and stuff. So there's a lot going on even pre-treaty, and they kind of knew what they were doing when they were signing that stuff back in the 2000. So it's just all coming full force right now, all these like pipeline development and stuff. So that's what I did for the roadblock. It was just the Tribal Protectors Alliance Society, and we have like members from all four communities that are in disagreement with this pipeline because it's going to ruin our traditional territories, ruin our fish harvesting. They're going to dredge outside Kinkola for foundations for their pipeline. They're cutting off access roads today as we speak to you right now for areas from Gilnulik Road all the way to like the last turnoff on the highway. And then you can access the back roads to Kinkola on the left side of the Mass River going south. So they're on their way to build their man camp and their floating barge down there. And then they already flagged their routes around their hot springs. Even that's like behind there. They're going to put a pipeline. That's going to affect the hot springs. Then they're going to also dredge up our traditional or ancestral lava beds. That's the provincial parks. They're downgrading the lava beds. So they're messing around with the Nisga Constitution on their own, not getting any referendums. Like I said, there's 6,000 of us. They don't have community public meetings. Nothing's there's virtual meetings. So they're just, people don't have time to log into those during the day when they're all working. And then that's when they're also doing all their approval processes.
Wow, Richard, that's a lot to unpack there. Maybe firstly, you could tell me, you'd mentioned they were already talking about this, 25 years ago, almost before they signed the treaty, the Nisga Treaty. Tell me more about that. How do you mean?
Oh yeah. You 2014 was like there when they were doing that Prince Rupert line on Nisga territories back then, and I'm pretty sure it was into their signing. They already knew what they were doing because they reduced our boundaries in that treaty, because our treaty only says we are, our local boundaries go as far as Dragon Lake, and then from Dragon Lake to Katin, that's where the Gitnyaw are and have their roadblock up by Highway 37 there past Katin. But our boundaries go as far as Dragon Lake to Katin, and then all within the boundary there, they're doing all their LNG developments there, clear cutting all the timber for the right of way. There's one road right from the Cranberry Road all the way to the Nass Bridge. Just call it, used to be the Grease Trail Road, and that's in our traditional to like Grease Trail, because when you have everybody traveling back and forth from other communities going home, they have the grease that's along the road. So now they've occupied that for like a pipeline road. We'll just call it a gas trail now. It's like they've had these all roads flagged off. Now they're just cutting and plowing everywhere now with their heavy equipment.
Richard, the other thing you mentioned was that, and I've heard this from other people as well, that there wasn't a whole lot of consultation with the membership. Tell me more about that. What kind of consultation or what kind of meetings or engagement has happened in Nisga territory with the other communities?
Well, it's like you can go back to when they purchased that pipeline as early this March. Like, a lot of their information that you can view is on their Western LNG. That's that Texas company. They document everything at like a little dashboard of their own, and that's more information than our own people have. Like LISMS has even done to our community. There's no dashboard of what they're doing. They're just all finally there. They tell our people, like, this July was their only consultation, and that was like how many months after they purchased. So then there's no, like, within the Nisga Treaty today, there's a process where people can have 15 days to review any agreements and deals that LISMS Corporation, that's like a corporation ruling over our tribes, they should be letting us within that constitution review what they're doing. But then they just come to us after that deadline in July and just tell us, oh, you have jobs. And then in their little memos about jobs, you have to qualify for the companies that are working in the valley. You have to meet their standards, and jobs are not guaranteed. And that's what they're saying after they tell you jobs. So it's like two different stories, one positive and one negative right after that. Like, how can people be, like, experts after, when they don't even know about it, and they just hear about it in July, and work started in July, because they're getting ahead of that permit that was actually for the Prince Rupert pipeline and environment, nothing to do with our environment here. There's no lava beds in that permit in Prince Rupert 2014. It's like 10-year-old permits they're bringing here. And the BC regulators, energy regulators, just allowed it to happen. They just gave their little approval. And that's kind of where we're at now, disputing it. Like, now we're now sending in complaint letters to the review, the internal review, Nisga review board, because that's in the Nisga Treaty. So we're just doing that now, the tribal protectors of the poor villages. And all concerned Nisga members can do that. And I'm contacting them as we speak. I'm sending off that legal complaint letter. So, and that's similar to WCB. So they have to review it, and then if they dismiss it, then you can challenge them in the BC Supreme Court.
Richard, I know that there was some discussion or talk of a petition that has gone around the Nisga communities with a couple hundred, 300 or so names of people who are either concerned or in opposition to this construction, to the pipeline, to the whole LNG project. What can you tell me about that? Where do some of your neighbors and other Nisga members stand on this issue?
I was the one that went around with the petition. I knocked on door to door. Went from Kinkola and just worked my way all the way up to each village every day. I did that after hours. So I was knocking on everybody's door, even the LISMS employees. And as I was doing that, I'd be in debates with them. And they just tell me, read the treaty. And this got nothing to do with reading the treaty. Like, they've already altered the Chapter 10, Environmental Act in that treaty. And that's without a referendum, because that's like a constitution, just like the Canadian constitution, like, as it was already challenged in 2014, and the judge said back then, 2014, the Nisga Treaty is like the Canadian constitution in 1982. So it's like, if they want to change the Canadian taxes, they got to do a referendum. That's how they got the GST, by having everybody in each province, municipality, go through that and vote. Not in our nation. No 6,000 members were contacted regarding any changes in that agreement. They're all just doing boardroom, what do you say, like boardroom approvals themselves about how they're going to alter everything to meet their deals they're doing. They didn't even do an internal like an environmental assessment of their own, because you look at how many moose wetlands they're going to cross, how many creeks they're going to cross, Niska creeks, 800 all the way through the whole valley, like how many our trapping grounds have they gone through. I have a trapping ground that they're going through up at the Nass Bridge there. There's so many other like peoples and goss, they just kind of turn, that's that whole Nisga Treaty, turning all the trapping grounds, 172 of them, into fee simple lands, just so they can do what they're doing today. Don't even care about environmental assessments for the nation, tribal members that go out there. Now we're all blocked off for 5 years because they want to develop their pipeline. Like, you go down towards Greenville now, you can't even go past any of those forestry roads anymore. You hit like maybe 1 kilometer and you're blocked off all the way to King Cola from that road down. That's just like, are they really changing our environment without our consent?
Yeah. You know, Richard, these are still early days. It sounds like, of course, they're trying to do enough work to show the regulators that they'll create a substantial start. What comes next? You had a blockade. You took the blockade down. It sounds like, you know, the jury isn't out on whether Niska in general support this or not. What comes next in your fight to get your voice heard on this issue? Where do you go from here?
Well, this is the process while we're sending the complaint letters to the review division. They have to stay the development until they come to a decision on the letters they receive. So they have to review their own processes. Like, they have to review our complaints because it's regarding the purchase without our consent and the damaged waterways. This relates to their lack of doing an environmental assessment within Niska lands themselves. So they're skipping the whole constitution, like within the Environmental Act. Like, they haven't done an assessment for 24 years since the treaty was implemented on anything. They don't even have proper moose counts and stuff because it relates to them not having, they would be breaking their own traditional laws, their Niska laws. That's why they're lacking all proper like internal procedures they should be following. So they're just really, like I said, they're not following the Niska Treaty. It's them. It's not a Lissom's Treaty. It's the Niska Nation Treaty. So but what we're doing is the internal, like the complaint letters for every Niska member that like it's a legal complaint letter, and they just have to put a stay on it themselves. So that stay is to stop development. So, and like I said, it's like WCB. You can challenge that if they dismiss it to the BC Supreme Court. That's like the internal steps. And there is another strategy, but that's confidential.
All right, Richard, we'll leave it there for now, but thanks so much for giving us this insight. We'll stay in touch as this story progresses.
Well, you take care and have yourself a great day.
That was Niska member Richard Mercer. Coming up next, my conversation with Gitnyau Hereditary Chief Deborah Good.
My name is Deborah Good. I'm Chief Wat Akhiyat. My territory is at 11 kilometers where our cabins are. Yeah.
Okay.
And for the Gitnyau Hereditary Chiefs.
In what capacity?
Negotiations mostly. Protection of the territory is priority.
I guess maybe you can explain to me what's going on here. You guys have quite the blockade here up on 37 at the Cranberry Junction. Maybe tell me a little about how this got going and what am I seeing here? It seems like there's a lot of traffic.
There is a lot of traffic, but just to be clear, I'm here on Gamlachyaltuk's territory, and we're blocking LNG equipment from coming down the Cranberry Connector. I'm not for LNG, But I'm here because I'm here to protect what the environment, for one thing, our fish and our wildlife. And LNG, PGRT sent trucks through over a week ago. And my daughter almost got run off the road that day. So it became a danger for people that travel this. And if you've been here since this morning, you'll see the traffic. Highway 37 is like a freeway. But we sat and we watched as they brought trucks through. There were three that came through. And when they were coming back, the speed limit close to our ranch is at 30 kilometers. These guys went by at about 120 kilometers on a dirt road. So you fear for your life, you fear for people's lives, but we fear for wildlife. Because our territory, we have moose, we have bears, we have other animals that cross the road. So it was about, but it's about protecting the environment and protecting our lands for the future generations. If you listen to some of the releases that have gone out, APTN, In the Process, Global TV, CFDK, CFNR. We're not here to hinder people that are traveling and enjoying this wilderness area. We're here to block LNG. The main reason, PGRT did not come to us and tell us what their plans were. Oh, we already have an agreement with the Gitnyau chiefs that was signed over 10 years ago. Well, guess what? We burnt it. Because we need an environmental review. We need to have that certificate changed. And it's about what is important to our people, and even important to people that don't actually occupy the land but travel through. And a pipeline, it's going to ruin it. You know, anytime that you go under a river, over a river, and you'll hear, you know, some of our members saying that is nothing but a big black monster that is going to hinder wildlife and other things. It's going to hinder how we fish. It's going to hinder how we live on the land. It's going to hinder how we harvest off the land. And I understand that there's opposition, you know. It doesn't matter what you do, there's opposition. But when are the British Columbians going to stand up for the environment? You can drive up and down the territories from 9 Mile to Metiaden to Surveyor's Creek. And you will look at the ponds, the creeks, spawning creeks, and see that the water levels are so low that those fish cannot even make it up those creeks anymore. But we're here talking money. At the end of the day, my question is, are you going to eat that money? Money comes and goes. One day we're poor, one day we're rich, and we're back to being poor again. That's a native life. and protecting the territory is such that there's always a guarantee that you will survive because you have the land. The wealth is the land.
It seems like, you know, you're mentioning about people coming to enjoy this wilderness. It seems like we're seeing a lot of, you know, boats, trailers go by, people that are pretty happy because they're out on the land. You know, what's that kind of, I guess, that connection or juxtaposition with, you know, like you said, you're stopping trucks, LNG, but people are still going out here enjoying the land. How would that change if you weren't doing this and that this road is very narrow? You know, there's a lot of logging trucks on this road already, and now you're going to have more traffic. It's bound to happen. So what kind of, in the sense of safety for the community and people coming up here to enjoy the territory, does this represent having more and more traffic on this road?
I've been here for over a week. We're sitting here, and vehicles show up and the license plates are all different. You've got people from Germany. You've got people from Switzerland. You've got people from France. And then you have people from Eastern Canada. And when they start to hear the reason you're here is we agree. Because where we come from, there is no such thing as a wilderness. There is no such place where you can get prime salmon that you can throw on the barbecue in the evening. And then we have resident hunters, and they come from all over BC, and they hunt on our territories. So one guy was really upset with me about 3 days ago. And he says, you can't stop us. I have no intention of stopping you. But I asked him, I said, 2 or 3 years from now when this line goes through the territory and all you see is that black monster, do you think that you will be able to shoot a moose? They're not going to get over and around pipelines. They're not even going to come in and go, you know, 100 feet from a pipeline. Those things vibrate, whether it be underground.
How did he take that?
I never thought of it. So people come in here with their backs up against the wall without the recognition that, yeah, this may be BC, but you're standing on territory that belongs to us. That's the bottom line. I have no qualms with tourists. I have none with companies that come in and they're logging. In fact, they do it for us. And I don't stop local people from coming. The road's open. Go and enjoy the territory. Keep it clean, but go and enjoy it. Because the only objective for me is to block LNG. PGRT is not going to make it. Because when the time comes, those lines, those pipes start being laid on the ground, in the ground, under our ocean floors, under our rivers. These are the people that are going to be there. And we won't be alone. We're united. And I know that. When I sit here, I see my great-grandmothers. When I sit over there, I see them standing here. When I drive down the road, I see them at the boundary. So anyone who says that we're not united, better think again.
Hey, Debbie, thank you.
No.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at cicknews@smithersradio.com. Or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CSK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts,